We always hear these ancient stories, you know, like from the Bible or Greek myths. But I have to admit, I don't often think about like what they really mean, like the deeper implications, you know. It's easy to just skim the surface. But what if, and this is what we're diving into today, what if these stories hold like clues to biases, you know, biases that are like still around today? And we're focusing specifically on how women are portrayed in mythology and scripture, all that good stuff. And you sent over this analysis actually by Clemens Lenchinger, humanist writer, right? About misogynistic themes in religious myths. And it's really interesting stuff. Like he digs into the parts of these texts that we often consider sacred and asks some really tough questions. So full disclosure, we're going to be unpacking his analysis, not necessarily saying we agree with every single thing he says, but exploring the questions that he raises. And one of the things that you mentioned you were curious about was like the root of certain biases. And Lenchinger argues that even texts that are super familiar, like the Bible, have aspects that we kind of gloss over.
Absolutely.
Especially, he says, modern interpretations. They kind of downplay the really harsh realities that women faced.
Yeah, definitely.
And one example that Lenchinger points to is that story of the Levite's concubine in the book of Judges, chapter 19. And it's brutal.
It's a rough one.
Yeah, it's really disturbing, and it's really easy to just feel disturbed reading it today, obviously. You know, this woman, she's basically offered up to a mob to protect a man, and it's her husband. And the violence is, it's horrific.
It's awful. And I think, you know, what Lenchinger does that's so interesting is he doesn't want us to shy away from those parts of these texts. Like he acknowledges that, yeah, this story reflects societal norms, you know, women as possessions, men holding all the power. But he's asking us to think about why is this story even in here? In this text that's considered sacred, what message, even if it's unintentional, is this sending about women, about their value or lack thereof, you know, and their lack of agency, especially in that society? Such a good question. And it makes you think twice, right, about this whole idea of a sacred text, you know?
Absolutely.
And Lenchinger doesn't start there, right? He brings up other stories from Judges. Let's see, chapters 11 and 20 this time.
Oh, okay.
The story of Jephthah's daughter, for example, and the mass abduction of women for the Benjamites.
Those are those are particularly interesting because he compares Jephthah's daughter's fate to, you know, the story of Isaac, much more, I think, widely discussed. But they both, you know, involve sacrifice, children, but God intervenes, saves Isaac. No giant rescue for Jephthah's daughter.
So, you know, it makes you wonder, as Lenchinger points out, like what were the author's priorities here? Or was there a theological point they were making? Like, why one and not the other, you know? And so he uses those examples to kind of highlight how picking and choosing what we read in these religious texts, it can be a problem. You know, we love the parts that resonate with our modern day feelings and conveniently forget the parts that make us squirm a little.
For sure.
But to really get it, I think you have to look at the whole thing, the good, the bad, even the really unsettling stuff.
And it's not like these themes just vanish when we get to the New Testament, right? Take the Virgin Mary. I mean, she's deeply revered by billions of people. But even her story, as Lenchinger points out, like the Immaculate Conception and all of that, it raises some questions, right? Like especially, I think when we look at it through the lens of how we view things today, like consent and agency, a woman's right to choose, all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different world.
Totally. And Lenchinger actually uses this kind of funny comparison to get this point across. He's like, imagine, right? Imagine the angel Gabriel shows up, but it's not to Mary. It's to like Alice Schwarzer, you know, the German feminist. And it's a funny image, right?
It is, yeah.
But it makes you think about how much, like what we expect of women, how different that is today.
And it makes you think about, you know, this whole thing with what he calls the male gaze, which he says is everywhere. All these mythologies, you know, not just the Bible. It's like they're mostly from a man's point of view. Women are just kind of there to move the men's stories along.
And you see that in other cultures too. Like the Ramayana, one of the most important Hindu texts. You've got Sita, Rama's wife. She's kidnapped. And then she has to like prove she's innocent
Oh, gosh.
by going through this trial by fire, literally.
Wow.
Which was supposed to, like, test her purity.
Oh, jeez.
And Lynchinger points out, like, talk about a double standard for Britain.
Totally.
I mean, you're questioning her virtue.
Right.
But Rama, the hero.
Yeah.
They're not looking at him that closely.
Right, right, yeah. It's like
yeah.
he's allowed to have faults.
Right.
Be human, I guess.
Yeah.
But she has to be, like, completely pure.
Right.
And what's really kind of scary is that the story, thousands of years old, it still means something in India today.
Yeah, it's like these ancient stories have this power. You know, they affect how women are seen and treated even now.
Right, exactly.
It's really something. And the parallels, too.
Yeah.
Think about it. Like Eve from the Bible.
Okay.
And Sirpanaka from the Ramayana, Ravana's sister.
Okay, yeah.
Powerful woman.
Right.
But she's demonized.
Yeah.
And blamed for basically for things that the men did.
Right.
It's like it happens over and over, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Women get blamed for what men choose to do. Like the men had no say in it.
Right. Exactly.
Now, we're going to be real, right? It's not like every woman in these myths is just a damsel in distress, right?
Yeah. Right.
We've got Athena, powerful goddesses, warriors.
Yeah.
But are those like the exceptions?
Right. That's the question.
You know, or are they just like anomalies in this sea of stories about like what women are supposed to be.
Yeah. And Lynchinger really wrestles with that, you know? Like he talks about Antigone. I mean, she defied everyone because of what she believed.
Right.
And Iphigenia, poor girl, talk about fate, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And then you have like Queen Meb.
Right, the Celtic queen.
Strong, ambitious woman, and of course the Amazons.
Yeah, it is.
But like he says, you have one of them, and then you have a zillion stories that just reinforce the same old, same old.
It's true.
And the thing is, he brings up Hypatia.
Oh, right, right.
A real person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this brilliant mathematician, Roman Egypt.
Yeah.
And she was murdered.
I know. Horrible.
By a mob.
It's awful.
And it's like a warning, you know? Like, this is what happens to women who don't, like, stay in line.
It's chilling. It really makes you wonder about those exceptions.
Yeah.
You know? Like, do they prove the rule? Because that's what Lynchinger says, and I can't get it out of my head.
Right.
And it makes me think about this whole thing with the female principle.
Right, right.
That some scholars talk about.
Yeah, like trying to find that in all these myths.
Exactly. Like, is that even helpful?
No.
Or are we just like, I don't know, trying to put women in another box?
Right, right, yeah.
This whole conversation, it's really got me thinking.
Yeah.
About how powerful these old stories are.
Absolutely.
Like Lynchinger says, we can't just ignore the parts that make us uncomfortable. Because that's how we figure out, like, how far we've come.
Right.
And what we still need to work on.
Absolutely. He's pushing us to look at these myths with, like, fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Not be afraid of the messy stuff. And when we do that, we learn a lot about the past, about ourselves, even about, like, biases we don't realize we have.
Yeah. So true.
So it really makes you wonder, right? Like, when we retell these stories, what are we supposed to do? Do we clean them up?
Right, right.
Make them nice for today? Or do we got to show them like they are?
Yeah.
Even if it's like kind of dangerous, do we reinterpret them for today? Or do we look at them and say, well, that's how it was, and we better be careful not to go back?
Man, that's something to think about.
Yeah.
You really have given me a lot to think about.
Oh.
And to our listeners, if you're as into Lynchinger as we are now, definitely check out his other stuff. But what you sent us is a great jumping off point. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree.
And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah.
It's been enlightening, to say the least.